Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the first reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. There was a certain man from Ramatham, Elkanah by name, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one named Hannah, the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah was childless. This man regularly went on pilgrimage from his city to worship the Lord of hosts and to sacrifice to him at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were ministering as priests of the Lord. When the day came for Elkanah to offer sacrifice, he used to give a portion each to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters, but a double portion to Hannah, because he loved her, though the Lord had made her barren. Her rival, to upset her, turned it into a constant reproach to her that the Lord had left her barren. So here you have a lot of jealousy. It's terrible, isn't it? Lot of jealousy. Poor Hannah is so sick because to be barren meant that there was some kind of hidden sin, or God had not favored her, God had not blessed her, and it was a terrible thing to be barren. Still is. So then on top of it, to have another one of the wives taking issue with it and just mocking her, ridiculing her, it's very hard, very, very hard. It says she turned it into a constant reproach to her that the Lord had left her barren. They went year after year. This went on year after year. This is hard, brothers and sisters. Each time they made their pilgrimage to the sanctuary of the Lord, Peninnah would approach her, and Hannah would weep and refuse to eat. This is when they saw one another. And her husband, Elkanah, used to ask her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you refuse to eat? Why do you grieve? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? There's a little boasting there, but nevertheless, her husband is sorry that she's weeping, but he doesn't get it. He doesn't hear all the reproaches. He doesn't get it. Often that's the case in our lives, isn't it? We're going to hear more about that later, but for now, this is a woman having to endure mockery and ridicule because she is barren. Psalm 16, "To you, Lord, I will offer a sacrifice of praise." Hannah went up year after year to the temple, making an offering to the Lord, pleading for help, pleading for a child. There was many years of silence. Note that. Sometimes we think of God as some kind of dispensing machine. All we have to do is put in the right coin and out comes what we want. That's not God. God knows what is best for us at every single moment. We can reject it and try to make the best for ourselves with our own human limitations. And it sounds good, but it might not produce and probably won't produce the fruit that God intended. So we have to be patient with God. And that's hard. Ask him for faith. Ask him for deeper faith. Ask him every day. Ask him many times a day. He will give it. You'll be amazed at the fruit that endurance, that perseverance will have. And then we have the gospel today, the gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. So Jesus now, John is arrested. This is the beginning now of Jesus' time. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So we live, you and I live in the time of fulfillment. The gospel is available to us. The grace of God is available to us. Please take advantage of the age in which you live. The grace of God is there for the asking. Ask God for the gift of faith. Ask God to believe in Him. Ask God to give you the grace to repent of your sin because it holds you back from knowing Him. It darkens your mind. It weakens your will. That's what sin does. So we need to repent. Repent freely. I have a new booklet that will be coming out soon, and you'll receive an announcement about it. But it's called The Joy of Repentance, The Mercy of God, The Joy of Repentance. There's joy, so repent. It's not, oh, I did this and I did that, but God, please, I repent of these sins that I might know you and love you and follow you. It's a relationship. Sure, it's embarrassing. Sure, it's hard to say it. But once you say it, you are set free. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen, so this is their livelihood. This is what they do all the time. And Jesus said to them, come after me. I will make you fishers of men. And look what happens. They left their nets. No fisherman in his right mind is going to leave his nets. They're heavy. They're costly, hard labor to make those nets that would withhold a huge catch of fish. This was their livelihood. As I said, no man in his right mind, a fisherman who fishes for his livelihood, is going to leave his nets. But they do. They leave their nets and followed him. He walked on a little farther and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. So he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. Everybody just got up, not everybody, but those he called, just got up, left right in the middle of what they were doing, and followed him. Brothers and sisters, what the gospel is trying to show us here is that when God calls, he asks for an immediate response. Now, I'm sure that Peter provided for his wife. I am sure that because there was great regard for their fathers and their mothers and their family, I am sure that they did what they could to provide for them. But in that moment, there was nothing before them but God. And I'm sure Christ asked them to provide. It's one of the great commandments, honor your father and your mother. So they would have provided. But the point is that in their hearts, when they heard the call, they said yes. One of the problems that I see today, because young people especially feel like they have many, many options in life and they don't want to close a door on any option. And they end up never really deciding to take the plunge into whatever it is, a vocation to religious life, to the priesthood, to becoming a lawyer or a doctor or a physicist or an engineer or whatever. I can't quite decide, because they know that if they do decide, they have to shut some doors. But brothers and sisters, you need to do that first with God. All the other decisions will be easy if you say, Lord, I want your will more than anything else in my life, and I will follow you and do your will by your grace and by your power. That's the essential decision to make. Then you say to the Lord, how do you want me to live this out? And sometimes God gives us choices. Doesn't mean a scroll has to come down from heaven with one word on it. Engineer, scientist, doctor, lawyer, whatever. Evangelist, priest, religious. It doesn't matter. that we have to close some doors, because if we're doing what God wants us to do, then all the grace and favor and blessing that we could hope for in this life will be with us. There will be an assurance. That doesn't mean that every single thing will go right. I've seen people go bankrupt twice, and knowing that God wanted them to do it and persevered until they won. I know that. There can be hardship. But I guarantee you, if you do His will, the end result will be joy and peace and strength and wisdom and hope and faith and love. Brothers and sisters, please, please turn against the way of this world. Take time to ponder, take time to discern, but don't make it your life's work. Make a decision, and God will help you. Sometimes He says, you can do either of these, and you will be pleasing to Me. Then decide to do one of them and move forward. Sometimes in our own families, we have decisions that we've put off because we don't want to deal with the repercussions. We have decisions to be made that would draw us closer to the Lord, that would make life better, that would help us to follow God more closely. But we just don't want to upset the apple cart, so to speak. We don't want to cause trouble. Sometimes we have to cause trouble in order to accomplish whatever it is that God wants us to accomplish. So look at this passage again. Jesus said to them, come after Me and I will make you fishers of men. He was calling them to religious life. He was calling them to the priesthood. But He calls all of us to follow Him. He calls all of us on a certain level to be fishers of men. But I can do it in a number of other professions or occupations. I can do it on the assembly line in Detroit. I can do anywhere as I can bring Christ to people. I can fulfill Christ's call upon my life anywhere as long as I have sought Him and make a decision to move forward. As somebody said once, don't make a vocation out of discernment, discerning all your life what you're supposed to do. That's not God. You need to make a decision. You need to step out. You need to take a risk. Yes, talk to people. Yes, get good advice. Yes, take time to pray, and then make a decision. God calls us to give Him everything, no matter what our state in life, no matter what our occupation. God gives us the grace to follow Him. That's what we want to be known as, most of all. I am a follower of Christ. I am a follower of Christ. Whatever my place is, whatever my occupation, whatever, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's my primary call. Everything else fits in under that. So that if Jesus says to you, come after Me, and He does say that to you, come after Me, you can say, here I am, Lord. I come to do Your will. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.